This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
All right, the good news is it looks like the heaviest rain is over. Man, I was in my apartment at West End when that storm system came through earlier, and also heard from somebody in Marrero, and they thought that a tornado did hit. And you hear that they're looking into whether or not a tornado hit Marrero. There are still some energy customers without power, and energy apparently is working on it. But that was one vicious storm that came through this morning. I thought this was going to happen more on and off all day for us in the immediate New Orleans area, but it's not. Now, some of you listening to the show might be going through some rounds of heavy rain throughout the day. But for the New Orleans area, it looks like the worst is over, and we're just expecting scattered showers. I mean, I'm looking out of the studio window. It's very gray, cloudy, and it looks drizzly out there, but no severe weather. And it doesn't look like we're going to have severe weather tomorrow. So that's very, very good news. Look, Friday might be a rainy day, but the good news is it looks like the weekend's going to be pretty nice. Mother's Day should be nice as well. So the worst of the rain seems to be over for New Orleans, but still some storms could pop up today and tomorrow, but it's going to be more like scattered showers. I thought this was really interesting. I read that the President of the United States talked about renovating and repairing Alcatraz the day after the movie The Rock aired on local television in South Florida when he was at Mar-a-Lago. So, could the president have gotten the idea to renovate Alcatraz from watching The Rock? He was there in South Florida. I mean, we know he doesn't read books, so I'm assuming he watches a lot of TV. He can't just watch the news. I mean, he's got to watch a good movie now and then. The Rock was a hell of a movie. Loved it. A lot of action in that movie, but I wonder if that's where he got the idea. You know, he got the idea from John Voight, the actor, to put a 100% tariff on foreign films. He got the idea to hold somebody accountable for the national security breach that took place when they were sharing the attack plans against the Houthis in Yemen with a journalist. That idea came from Laura Loomer. I think she likes him. I think he likes her. I mean, if you look at Laura Loomer, she looks like his type. And I'm not saying they've done anything, but I think they really like each other. And he obviously respects her. I mean, I don't know much about her. She's kind of an activist and a strong supporter of the president. But I don't know much about her beyond that. And she apparently gave him the idea because after she talked to him, then, you know, he didn't come up with it. She came up with it. And then the next day he started talking about doing stuff. Last night, now, for those of you who remember Saturday Night Live from the past, you're going to so remember this. Last night, this was brilliant. Stephen Colbert had Father Guido Sarducci on talking about the conclave. I mean, that was so awesome. It was Father Guido Sarducci, who was on Saturday Night Live for many years, and he was on Stephen Colbert last night talking about the conclave. Still going on. They expect there to be a vote tonight. There are, I believe, 133 cardinals in the Sistine Chapel. And if you saw the movie Conclave, you know a little bit about the process. A lot of politicking that apparently goes on. And so, wait, there was black smoke? Okay, so right now we are getting black smoke at the Sistine Chapel, so that means they don't have a decision yet. It would be very unlikely that they could come to a conclusion that quickly. Now, we're going to talk a little bit later about the four favorites. And, you know, we live in a world where you can bet on everything. And you can bet on who's going to be the next pope. And there are odds. So they've got a couple of favorites, but it could be a total outsider. Now, as I have said, I'm a Catholic. As I have said, I loved Pope Francis. I love that he was so inclusive. I love that he seemed to... He had total respect for Catholic doctrine, but he didn't interpret it so strictly as some do. He didn't really change anything about the church, but he opened up conversations. He opened up the idea of not being so harshly judgmental of the LGBTQ community, for example, and for Catholics who are remarried and taking communion. You know, the Catholic Church is very strict about that, and that's one of the things that, you know, really bothered me about the church. Also, the idea of annulment. You know, I was born Episcopal, and when I was married, my fiancé, was Catholic. And so I was baptized and confirmed Catholic as an adult right before we got married. And when we divorced, years later, I remarried. And, you know, basically, I wasn't supposed to go to communion. But I went to communion. I disagreed with the church on that. It never occurred to me to have an annulment. And so that's the rule. If you're a Catholic and you're remarried, you're not supposed to go to communion unless you've had your original marriage annulled. And I thought, wait a minute. God knew the marriage took place. It took place in front of God. So he knew it happened. So I'm going to put my name on a piece of paper that basically said that it really wasn't a marriage or there are reasons why it shouldn't count. I just thought that was hypocritical. Now, if you chose to get an annulment and you're happy with that, I'm not criticizing you. That's fine. But it wasn't for me. I thought it was very hypocritical. Plus, I had a son. And I'm going to act like this marriage didn't take place. So I was very happily going to communion. It was my own decision to do that. But there are a lot of Catholics today who are going to communion and they're remarried. Their original marriage was not annulled. So that's against what the church believes. So there are a lot of things that we do. You don't have to agree with everything about the church to go to the church or to go to Mass. And some people think, well, you're not really a Catholic. Well, think about all the people who are divorced and remarried. Well, are you saying they shouldn't go to Mass? And I've talked about this before. The Catholic Church is against the death penalty. So if you are for the death penalty, are you going to church and accepting communion and you're all part of the church and everything? Well, you disagree with the church on when it comes to capital punishment. So what's the difference? Well, there is no difference. So I think there are things that we can disagree with and within our own conscience make decisions about whether or not we take communion. And communion is like the, you know, one of the ultimate sacraments. And so I think that, you know, personally, I think it's okay if you don't agree with everything the church says, and it's okay to go to communion. Again, that's my opinion. If you have a different view of that, that's certainly your right to have that different opinion. But I'm hoping for a liberal pope. And again, I remind you, I use the word liberal. It has nothing to do with Democrats. It has nothing to do with politics. But I'm hoping for somebody who does not so strictly interpret man-made laws. And that's what Catholic doctrine is. It's man-made rules, man-made laws, and some of them don't make sense to me. So I'm hoping for a liberal pope. There are some people who are probably hoping for a very conservative pope who is like some of the popes in the past, like Pope John Paul II. There was a time that I thought Pope John Paul II was going to be kind of a lib, But man, he turned out to be, toward the end, he turned out to be really, really conservative. All right, so let's talk about this bill that was going to ban furry activity in schools. The bill was sponsored by Texas Republican Stan Gertes from Smithville, Texas. He introduced a bill that would outlaw furry behaviors, meowing, defecating in litter boxes at school. Now, this is the funny part. And I said this all along. I've talked about this from the very beginning of this story. It's a news story. The story is that there is a school, I think Michigan, but a school somewhere, and the students that relate to animals, the furries in particular, they were demanding that litter boxes be placed in the bathrooms so they could use litter boxes instead of urinals or the toilet. Now, when you're talking about number two, are you going to use the litter box after somebody else did number two in the litter box? And then when you're finished, are you going to use your hands to scratch over your number two? I mean, that's just not even practical. Well, it's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous that it's not even true. There were right-wing radicals that took this mythical story and made it seem like it's real. I don't know how it originated, but it was never true. It never happened. There was not a school in Michigan or anywhere that put litter boxes in the bathrooms for the kids that related to being animals. So the whole bill, and I talked about this at the time that we first learned about it being introduced, the whole furry bill in Texas was based on falsehood. It was based on a false story. Well, when this Republican in Texas, Stan Gertes, when he was challenged with providing an example of what happened in a school, he couldn't give any. So they threw the bill out. I mean, you know, how absurd. It's ridiculous that it went that far, but it just goes to show you how some people are just boneheads perpetrating a fake story, not even caring, or maybe finding a source, not even caring about the truth, but finding sources that will support the story that you want to believe is true. You want to believe that our schools under Biden were so liberal that they were putting litter boxes in classrooms. Well, that didn't happen. And the guy's bill got thrown out. This is laughable. The guy's bill got thrown out because it wasn't true. All right, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the new information out concerning the woman, Shiloh Hendricks, who has now raised over $739,000 because she used the N-word. There are people supporting her because she used the N-word. So we'll talk about that when we come back. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, it was on this day in 1983 that the Great Ken Band from San Francisco had reached number two on the Hot 100 chart with a song called Jeopardy. A year later, Weird Al Yankovic came out with this parody. This guy is brilliant. Greg Ken reaches number two on the Hot 100 chart. A year later, on this day in 1983, Weird Al Yankovic releases I Lost on Jeopardy. Love it. I'm Scoot. This is WWL.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you heard a lot about the crisis at the border recently? We haven't been talking about it. It's because it's really not in the news. Do you know why? Because the president of the United States did something about the border. My question is, why didn't the other president, President Biden, try to do the same thing? Contrary to what many believe, I was viciously critical of President Biden for failing to do anything, anything about the border. And the new president comes into office and the border is no longer a problem. There are a few people coming across our border, but not the thousands per day that were coming across the border. So I give the president of the United States credit for changing the crisis at the border. I still think in general we have a crisis at the border and more needs to be done. But I applaud what the president has done, and I wonder why Biden didn't do anything about it. And why those around Biden didn't force him to do something about it. And there's still this story going around about the media hiding Biden's condition. Why the liberal media hid Biden's condition from the American public. That's not true. The media didn't know. Biden's condition, his mental condition, was not known by the media. It was kept a secret. I guarantee you, if the media knew about it, they would have reported it. It would have been all over the news. The media is not going to ignore a story like that. And as biased as you think the media is, the media has traditionally shown that it's more interested in a good story than in its protecting a political ideology. For example, the liberal media viciously bashed Bill Clinton when it came to the Monica Lewinsky case. The liberal media exposed everything about Monica Lewinsky. And that hurt Bill Clinton. And there are many cases like that throughout history. So the media is always interested in the best story, and they don't give a damn who's involved. If it's a good story, they'll go with it. And I'll tell you that, and I'm not the only one who believes this, but the media did not know about Joe Biden. If I had known about Joe Biden, I would have talked about it. We alluded to it, but we didn't know for sure, so we couldn't say anything. I mean, you have to be careful about saying something about somebody's mental health on the air unless you know for sure. So, you know, we didn't know. So the media did not know. So if you're locked into the conservative media echo chamber and you're hearing that, you know, the liberal media protected Joe Biden. No, it didn't. The liberal media didn't know about Joe Biden because the liberal media would not have protected Joe Biden. And I think that so many people in the liberal media, and I say this in jest, I don't think this is the problem that some people perceive it to be. But again, some people love to have an enemy. But the media that many consider to be liberal would have run with that story. Let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Here's a text from Paul in Michigan. He says, the rumors about the litter boxes in the classroom started from teachers preparing for possible lockdowns by bringing in buckets with kitty litters and lids so that the kids had a place to evacuate, pardon the pun. But then the right-wing extremists twisted the story to fit their narrative. Yeah. These people are destroying our country by any means necessary. Yeah.
That so often happens. The right-wing radicals. And again, if you're a Republican or a conservative and you're not a right-wing radical, then we're not talking about you. Please don't take this personally. It's not about you. It's about the right-wing radicals. They do twist stories to fit their agenda. And that's what happened here. Great explanation.
Here's a text from Sal about Shiloh Hendricks. The woman who used the slur is wrong. The bigger issue is, can you tell me any other racial or ethnic slur that has ever been stricken from a language? They may still get your butt kicked, but you still have the right to show your ignorance.
Well, you still have a right to show your ignorance. I mean, you can show your ignorance with the use of the N-word. You have the freedom to do that, but again, it's showing your ignorance. I don't know if there... I can't think offhand of another word that is that... damaging. I think, you know, it's not as damaging, but it's damaging. The F word for homosexuals, the C word for women, and I don't mean compromise. There are words that are derogatory and can be perceived as damaging, but I don't know if there's anything as damaging as the N word. I can't think of it.
Here's a text that says, people are giving that woman money not because she said the N-word, but because of the effort to cancel her and ruin her life over it. Cancel culture is what people are fighting with the donation. It's a response to the Carmelo murderer getting all the money from blacks, which is sick. They did it first. I hope you are all just as disgusted by the give, send, go for Carmelo Anthony amid all of the racist comments from blacks.
Yes, we are. In fact, did we ever get a hold of anybody with the NAACP in Rochester, Minnesota?
No, we didn't.
Okay, let's try and get a hold of them. Because as of yesterday, they raised $431,000 on a GoFundMe account for the young boy. Why? I mean, precisely what is that money being raised for? I understand the argument about cancel culture, but I don't think this is that. I don't think this is that. I mean, the use of the N-word. I mean, if you're talking about this being an attack on cancel culture, then you're vicariously endorsing the use of the word, well, the N-word. And I don't think it needs to be used. And I think we can talk about banning the N-word without talking about cancel culture. So I understand that argument, but I don't think it's a legitimate argument.
A lot of the people on the text line are asking us to talk about that Carmelo Anthony case. And, you know, look, nobody's going to defend that kid. He stabbed that kid. He murdered that kid. It seems like that's kind of open and shut. But their GoFundMe says, you know, this is for legal defenses and we're going to try and protect our family because we're being threatened. Where Shiloh Hendricks's give, send, go comes out and says, I did it. I called the kid what he is. I'm not ashamed. I'm not sorry at all. Well, so they're not exactly apples and apples here.
Right. And do we know if there really were threats against her? I mean, do we have real,
again,
credible information about that?
That's all her framing.
Okay, so we don't know if there really were threats against her. And if there were, there should not be. You can disagree with the use of the N-word, but you don't threaten somebody's life or their livelihood because they use, well, maybe their livelihood, but you don't threaten somebody's life because they use the N-word. That's, you know, that's wrong.
Here's a text that says, I'm 70 years old, born and raised in New Orleans. When I was young, using the N-word was very commonplace. As I got older, it became politically incorrect, so we stopped. My kids were never exposed to that. I'm not offended hearing it, but I am sympathetic to those that it offends. Entertainers use it, friends use it, I don't care. I choose not to use it. It seems like a sign of ignorance and racism, and I am neither.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Totally agree. But don't say, oh, it was politically correct, like it's not worth denouncing the word. Like this is some kind of a cheap political correctness case. I don't, you know, I think sometimes it's okay to say, wait a minute, if you do this, then you actually actively insult somebody. You know, why do that? I mean, there are aspects of woke, there are aspects of being politically incorrect that are not wrong. For example, tell me why this is wrong. And this is considered woke. There are plus size mannequins now at Victoria's Secret. Plus size mannequins. That's considered woke. Oh my God, Victoria's Secret is woke. What about all of the women who are plus size? What about all of the women who are plus size who want to feel sexy, who want to feel included? Is there anything wrong with the wokeness of doing plus size mannequins at Victoria's Secret? No, there's nothing wrong with that. The idea of making people of different sizes feel comfortable, I think, is good. There are a lot of men out there who are bigger than they might want to be. And it's not just the difference between eating salad and eating a hot fudge sundae. People are made differently. And some people are just naturally thin, and some people naturally have the ability to gain weight. Some people just have, I mean, there's different body types out there. So when I see these plus size mannequins at Victoria's Secret, I'm thinking, this is great. I didn't see that. I didn't see that when I was younger. And back in the 80s, when people were buying more of that than they are today, I believe. And that's another interesting topic. Do young generations get into teddies and garters and all of that stuff the way my generation did when we were younger? I don't think so, but I think that's an interesting topic. But the plus size models, that's considered woke. But that's just nothing more than including people. The N-word is nothing more than excluding or demeaning people, so it doesn't need to be used.
Just give you a couple quick ones here about the conclave. Mark in Slidell says, if my pope comes in second, do I get my bet back?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, Mark.
I don't know. Are the sports betting sites, are they doing it? Like, you know,
sure.
The
sports betting sites, why wouldn't they?
I guess so. I mean, you can bet on who's going to be the next football. I'm going to give you the favorites coming up in a few minutes. I'll give you the four favorites. There are four favorites in particular, and then there are two others, and one of them is actually an American, who are considered to be in the running. But we just, a little while ago, now it's nighttime in Italy, so they've had a long day in Italy going through this, and now they're going to, you know, get rid of the robes, and they're going to, you know, party down. The Cardinals are going to, you know, party down. Because, you know, Catholics party. Catholics drink. And Catholics party, so I'm sure there's some liquor being poured tonight around the Cardinals, but we saw black smoke, so it means that there's no decision yet.
And I'll leave you with this one. Here's a text that says, "I hope it ends up being Pope Cicola."
That would be very cool. All right, on this day in 1991, on the SOTA rock culture calendar, a judge in Macon, Georgia, dismissed a wrongful death lawsuit against Ozzy Osbourne. There was a local couple who sued Ozzy Osbourne because they claimed that their son was inspired by Ozzy's music to commit suicide. Now, if you're the parents of a child that takes his or her life, I mean, you're pretty desperate. And you've got to be trying to reach out to find a reason. And you don't want to think that it has anything to do with you. And maybe it doesn't have anything to do with you. You know, the children that take their own lives, that's not necessarily a direct reflection of the parents. But some parents might just intrinsically feel guilty about that. But they wanted to blame Ozzy Osbourne. And on this day in 1991, a judge in Macon, Georgia, dismissed the wrongful death case against Ozzy, basically saying, it's not the music. It's not the music, and this is not the first time this has happened in court. Courts continue to say you can't blame the music for negative behavior. It is the responsibility of the individual. And that's the way it should be. I mean, we can't go around excusing negative behavior because of music. You know, when Charles Manson was on trial, he tried to claim that the Beatles, Helter Skelter, the Beatles' music, inspired him to direct others to go commit murder. You know, back in the 70s, that was considered ridiculous. Today, people take that kind of thing seriously. Oh, I don't know, maybe Charles Manson wasn't a bad guy. Maybe it was that Beatles music. Look, it's not the music. I'm Scoot on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 1968, he was on a plane heading home from his last gig with a band called Bluesology. He was a keyboard player. His name is Reginald Dwight. He was looking for a stage name that would be better than Reginald Dwight. Plus, he wanted to get away from who he was because he didn't like his life and hated his home life, so he didn't want to be Reginald Dwight. In looking for a new name in the cabin of the plane, there was another band on board. The horn player of the band was called Elton Dean. That was his name, Elton Dean. The lead singer was Long John Baydry. So he asked, can I use your names, Elton and John, to use my name on stage, Elton John? And that's how Elton John got his name. I'm Scoot. If you want to join us with a comment, Oakenheart Jewelers, talking text line 504-260-1870. Coming up in the next hour, I'll tell you about Chris Cuomo, the host on News Nation. There was a host, there was a guest who was expected to be on the show at the very last minute, minutes before the show started yesterday. This guest bailed. Chris Cuomo called him a coward and said, what a punk ass move. I'll tell you who that senator was in the next hour. Marjorie Taylor Greene says she never said Jewish space lasers. Well, she's right in one way, wrong in another. We'll clear that up next hour. But right now, Ian's got some interesting text to get to.
Yeah, you spoke in a little bit about the last segment about, you know, plus-sized mannequins.
Yeah.
And a couple people texted in some sort of variation on this theme. Do you also tell the people that you're trying to convince that plus-sized models, that it's great, that it's also not healthy? I'll wait for your answer.
Well, I guess you don't know much about plus size. You could be a plus-size person and be very healthy. You're just not as slim as other people. But you can correct me if I'm wrong here. You can be a plus-size model and not be obese. Plus-size models are just people who are not really skinny. I mean, some people, you know, kind of joke about that, well, they're big-boned. I mean, some people are just a little bigger than other people. And some people have different kinds of bodies, and they don't just fit into the slimmest stuff that, you know, you're used to seeing at Victoria's Secret. At least the display models have been really, really thin, and I just think it's very healthy for people who are plus size to think, hey, you know what? I can be sexy too.
Yeah, what we might consider to be plus size today includes body types that have been pretty typical for women for thousands of years. If it were not for the modern advertising industry's compulsive need to elevate super skinny women and say that that's the standard of beauty, then we wouldn't be talking about plus size mannequins like they're some crazy exotic outlier. That's just what a lot of women look like and have always looked like.
Marilyn Monroe was plus size.
Absolutely right.
Marilyn Monroe was plus size. So, you know, I don't want to make you feel silly, but that was a silly text.
Yeah, and just there's nothing wrong with being super skinny either. Lucky you, right? That's what, yeah, Madison Avenue, yeah, decided beauty is, you know, 100 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you're not, like, starving yourself,
right,
to death. I mean, as long as you're ill. The key is to be healthy. And some people are just naturally skinnier than other people. And, the plus-size mannequin at Victoria's Secret, that's considered woke. But I don't think that's a bad thing.
I'll give you two more quick ones. Here's one that says, hey, Scoot, I love that you're talking about that Aura frame. I absolutely love ours. We got one for my mother-in-law.
Oh, cool.
And you said you can add pictures when you get home. What I really enjoy is you can add pictures way before that.
Yes.
We add pictures to my mother-in-law's frame while we are still on vacation with the kids. She automatically starts seeing pictures of her grandchildren at the beach or the theme park or wherever.
Say, I love that. Thank you for that text. But yeah, that's another thing about the Aura frame, A-U-R-A. Yeah, you can download pictures on somebody else, like your mother, your mother-in-law. You can download pictures on her Aura frame. So yeah, she's seeing the kids and the grandkids.
You can be at Key West and you can take a picture of your kid playing around in the surf, and
yeah,
your grandmother in Dubuque, Iowa sees the picture.
Yep, it's really awesome.
And I'll leave you with this one. Mark is listening today, and Mark knows all about history, and he tells us that after the conclave ends, the cardinals are drinking Cardinales, which is a 1950s era combination of gin, Campari, and dry vermouth, born in Rome.
Whoa!
Well, I've got to kind of call this a gin, Campari, and vermouth is a Negroni.
Oh.
So I don't know where this Cardinales came from. They're drinking Negronis in there? I could be a cardinal just to go drink some Negronis.
I don't know about the names, but that sounds like one wicked drink.
Oh.
On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 1998, Steve Perry officially left Journey. And I've shared with you new Steve Perry. Steve Perry, who's been in hiding, in hibernation since he left Journey, is out with new music. He's featured on this song by a band called The Effect, and it's the son of a guitar player from the band Toto, who's also part of this band. But it's an old 1986 Journey song, a deep cut. It Could Have Been You, wasn't a big hit. But Steve Perry is out singing again, and I think the guy looks great. And I just love that he's singing again. So this is a new Steve Perry. On this day in 1998, when he was in his 30s, he left Journey. He's 76 years old today. I'm Scoot. We're coming back on WWL. All right, we'll have the names of the four cardinals favored to become the Pope. We'll talk about the new information about the woman who used the N-word. And did Marjorie Taylor Greene say Jewish space lasers caused fires in California? We'll set the record straight on all of that coming up. Chris Miller coming up is going to have the latest on the energy customers who have been without power. I'm Scoot on the Air, and this is WWL.